coming to you from Rockingham, IPL Radio.
And we're back. It is 5:15 on this awesome, beautiful day that was apparently supposed to be raining, apparently, someone said this morning, so it doesn't look like it's raining. And we've got Chris Boyes in with us, and we've just been talking that IPL, us and Chris go back a long way, so it's a real pleasure to have you in, and this is the first time you've been to the new studio, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yep.
Yeah, you've been with us pretty much from day dot, right? We started, you were our first IT guy, you helped set up our emails, you helped set up our computers, you had your own podcast with us. Did you want to share your journey over the last 4 years?
Well, I actually had the privilege of doing radio for you on a Sunday too, if you remember. It used to be called Authentic Voices Hour, which is kind of like the extension of the podcast that I had going at the time. And that I really enjoyed doing that. You know, that was a lot of fun. Basically, I've been doing media podcasts since 2020 now, Tris. And what brought me across your path was, I noticed that you were doing the radio and I was interested, and I noticed you had similar equipment in a way to what I was using. I'm like, wow, maybe we could, you know, get to know each other. So I reached out and you were, you know, really, really responsive to me. And yeah, like you said, you helped me out. But you helped me, you might think I helped you out, but you helped me out a lot too, mate. You helped me get started with, registering my not-for-profit charity, which, I still appreciate, you doing that to this day. So we were a blessing to each other, I'd like to think, mate. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I like that it's give and take. It's not a one-way situation. And, we feel like, if we can help you and you can help us, it's a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's cool. Yep. And so Authentic Voices was your original podcast. And then I noticed that you went into starting your own ministry, which is, you've obviously connected with Daryl Mullaney, who should be coming in next week, who's a local pastor. And the Wolves are kind of partly thanks to him, because he donated a whole pile of chip rock, which was really cool. So tell us, how did that relationship form?
Well, believe it or not, it actually goes back to when I was doing my podcast, and at the time I did have a home church still got it. And I was actually just, I reached out to him and said, look, I'd really like to interview you one day, Daryl. But and that was a really good interview that went well. And then a couple of years later, I became friends, really good friends with some pastors. This was just an amazing story. It would take too long to tell the full story, so I'll try and get to the important bits. So I became really good friends with some pastors over in Queensland through interviewing someone in their church. Went over to visit them. Didn't even know him. It was all just the God-led thing. And went over and stayed with him. And when I was over there, he's like, hey, Chris, you know how you were saying you'd like to see if you could find a Full Gospel Australia church? He goes, yeah. He said, do you know Daryl Mullaney? And I went, yeah. And he goes, oh, he's got a Full Gospel Australia church. And I'm like, wow. So I went back and, didn't really connect with him straight away. But the interesting thing was Daryl Mullaney became the state leader of Full Gospel Australia at the exact same time I was becoming friends with Gary Hoban. I look back now and I think that was such a God-led thing. And then we eventually, when we realised that we were going to get going under Full Gospel Australia, I reached out to him out of respect, because he is the state leader. And he came over, had a coffee with me. And, mate, the rest is history. We've just become really good friends. He's just he's got such a big heart, like a real father heart. And I call him a pastor of pastors, mate, because he is the state leader, and he has churches that, that he looks after, and sense that he just provides support and encouragement. We are fully autonomous. He's just such a great bloke, and he's got a great sense of humour, as you would probably know. So, yeah, he actually endorsed me to be ordained as a Full Gospel minister, which was the fulfilment of a 30-year-old dream, actually. Wow. So that was pretty amazing as well, just in itself. And, he's just such an encouraging guy, and he's just been through there. As I was sharing before I came on live, I went into doing, went into church services, that didn't go too well, and it was really hard for me and my wife, so we went back to just home church. Nothing wrong with home church, but we just felt like it's all we could handle at the moment.
And I always find that home church is where Christianity started, right? Because they weren't having big arenas at the beginning. They were meeting Candlestine? Because the Roman authorities were really against Christianity, right? So was illegal to meet to worship God.
Yep.
And so they were all meeting in each other's homes.
Yep.
So that's really getting back to the early Christian church, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I still think there's a place for, you know, churches that meet in buildings because they're, to me, they're like a lighthouse to a community. That's how I see Sound City. They're a great bunch of people. But, you know, home church has got its place too. And for some people, they want that more intimate, you know, close connection. And that's kind of what we really, yeah, we just love doing. So we like online ministry. We still love my media ministry, mate. Still really do lots of media. Really
excited to see. Doing podcasts and stuff, you were saying?
Yeah, doing podcasts. I do video podcasts as well. Have done a lot of teaching through video podcasts as well. Love interviewing people. I never get tired of that, which is probably a funny thing to say because I'm being interviewed. I'm not usually the guy being interviewed, so it's nice to be on the other side of the chair for a change.
That's true.
I just really enjoy hearing people's stories, you know, and just finding out. Authentic Voices' primary purpose is to support people's voice with it. And I have a real passion to support kingdom creatives, as I call them, you know, the people that are not always understood, like the artists, the musicians, the writers. The church hasn't always known what to do with creatives, but that's changing. And that's something my wife and I are very passionate about. The lady who actually painted our church painting, it's called Sevenfold Church, my church. The lady who did my painting, it was a prophetic art piece and she put it together. And yeah, Sharon and I really want to support Kingdom Creatives. Like, we've become really good friends with the band, Unique Creative, and she's a very talented artist. She's a very talented lady. They're all really talented musos, and I like hanging out with musos. They're fun.
Absolutely. And, like, you know, God was the first and ultimate creator.
Exactly.
And I feel like he's created the universe, and it's part of our mission, really, and part of our job to continue creation.
Yep.
You know, and I think for me as well, I feel like I'm happiest when I'm creating something.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, birthing something new, that's the exciting thing.
Yeah, and because we're made in the image of God, we've all got that capability and capacity. And, you know, that's like what I love about what Arlene says, you know, we're called Unique Creative because we want you to know that you have a uniqueness and that you have a creativity. And we want to encourage you in that. And so for me, it was such a great synergy because that's exactly what Authentic Voices is all about, helping you find your voice, you know, for Jesus and just, you know, finding your passion. You know, what excites you? What are you passionate about? And that's what I really believe. To me, Trish, that's really what discipleship's all about, helping you find your path and what you're creative about and what you've got a passion for. That's how I see discipleship anyway.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
The other thing that I know that you were keen to talk about is you're obviously an IT guy.
Yep.
And, yeah, you wanted to talk about AI and how AI, because AI has got, it's kind of divisive. Like, some people are really for it and, you know, saying this is amazing. It's going to make our lives so much better. And some people are like, oh, scary, Terminator. So where, like, You wanted to specifically say about Christians and how Christians can embrace AI more. Do you want to kind of share where you're coming from with AI, how it can improve people's lives?
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, as I am an IT professional, I'd like to try and demystify it a little bit if I could, because we've been using some form of AI automation for a long time without realizing it. Like, every time you internet bank, every time you actually use Google, every time you go on Facebook, that has been AI as part of their systems. What brought it to the public's attention, what really made people begin to focus on it, is a term called ChatGPT. And I might have to use a few terminology labels here. I'll try not to use too many. But in the IT world, we call it a large language model, which is just an accumulation of a huge amounts of data. And basically, when you put prompts in or ask questions, it's pulling information from lots of different sources, you know. It can generate images. You know, it might surprise some people to hear this, but I actually have used it to put some sermons together, to put some text together, to put some scriptures together. Still my words. They're just pointers, memory pointers, things that I use. So that would be the other thing. I like to demystify a little bit, because when the internet first came out, there were a lot of Christians and churches that said, oh, this is the devil's technology. And we're talking on it right now, Trish. So to me, it's just an evolution of it's an extension, you know. I still believe that, you know, when it comes to technology, it has a place, you know, internet, computers, everything that we've been using that we always fear what we don't truly understand. And I do understand that there is a fear there, but it's largely because of the unknown. So if I can help demystify it a little bit, and I did try to do that with my partner, Gil Hodges, you know, I did actually do a topic on my podcast called Convos with Chris, and it's literally, is there a place in Kingdom of God for AI? And, you know, he firmly believes, as I do, be educated, you know, be trained. He's got a little group called AI Innovators where they provide free courses to people. Look at how it can enhance or improve. Look at what it can do for you. I can't deny, like any forms of technology, Trish, there's people who have good intentions with it. There are people who have do not have good intentions with it. It's the same with the internet. It's the same with social media. Social media is a double-edged sword. I think most people would agree with me on that. I love social media. I believe in it. I know what it can do. It can get toxic, and it can also, you know, there are examples where misinformation is spread as well. So I would say to people, if you're scared of it, just educate yourself. You know, talk to someone that works in technology, like myself, and just ask questions, because it's something we're tackling with in the within the company that I work for, which is a big company. And we were all told, get trained up. We're going to make the training available to you. We can get certified in Amazon, Microsoft, all the big known players, because your role as it sits right now won't be the same in 12 to 24 months. So it's not like they haven't warned us and prepared us. And so I believe in empowering people with technology and trying to take that fear away if I can.
I think for me, because I'm in the middle, right? I can see that there's going to be a good thing coming out of it, but I can also say it can be misused.
Yeah,
and absolutely. One thing that someone said recently, they did an AI seminar thing, and they were saying that within the next year or so, they're going to have the technology to be able to take a photo or a voice of someone and then basically make a video of them talking. I think from a politics perspective, that means that if someone wants to blacken someone's name, and if I've got this right, they can make a video of them being, you know, saying some really terrible stuff and then float that, and it would be very difficult to tell the difference between that and a real video.
Yep.
Is there safeguards going to happen? Yep. So can you take us through some of those, how we can tell the difference?
When I spoke to Gil Hodges about it in my interview, it's called deepfake technology that you're talking about, and there are right now companies who are developing technology, because there's always a way to tell an image has been altered. There's always a way to tell a video has been altered. There is metadata that will record that information. Now, metadata is just data about data. Like, if you look at a picture and you right click on it, just go to properties, you'll see it. You'll see the metadata information about that. So that's another thing. There are companies that are countering that, but look, there is examples of that. Even in the election in the US right now, there's been examples of deepfake technology, but there are companies that are rising up to counter that. Again, educate yourself. Google it. There are anti-deepfake technologies around. Yes, 100%. Because Gil gets asked that all the time, and it's a legitimate question.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier on about when Donald Trump was vying for presidency the first time when he got in. There was someone on the Democratic side made a video where they cut, and the place that they cut and the video that they made took what he said out of context. You know, and that's happened not just to him, obviously, but to a lot of politicians, where someone manipulates a video. So maybe they said that, but it was about something else, you know, and then they just go, oh, look, this is what he said about this. And when you actually look at it and the full video, he was talking about something completely different. Manipulation happens so much.
There's always an answer. You know, if you can use AI and technology to generate fakes, why can't you use AI and technology to detect those fakes? And that's exactly what I'm talking about. There are companies responding to that. There are companies that are actually building technologies around doing that very thing, yeah. So I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah, it's definitely a concern. I can understand what people are going to think. Well, Jesus, is it going to get to the day, Chris, where I don't even know if what I'm looking at or what I'm listening to is fake or it's real? You know, that's a legitimate concern, but again,
kind of here there now, are we really? We're in that place now.
In some ways, yeah, you are putting a lot of faith in what you're looking at on social media, and we have been since the beginning of it, really, if you think about it. Now, obviously, it's better if you know the people in real life and then you can see if what's online is real or not. Yeah. You know, that definitely helps. But, look, I've seen the benefits of being online. I've literally did become an ordained minister by coming friends with someone online that I went to the Gold Coast and met. And then from there I met Daryl. But so, yeah, look, I can see the benefits of this technology, but I can see the concerns as well. And, look, you know, as a minister of the gospel, I'm conscious of that, and I want to educate myself, and I want to make people aware of that. In fact, what I want to do, and I was talking to the founder this morning about it, because he's a Christian, he's a born-again Christian, his motivation for doing this is to be able to look after his girls. He's a single dad. He's a programmer, he's a developer, he's a single dad. You'll like this one. His vision is to eventually build the business to a point where he can use it in mental health services as well. That's what he wants to do. His father sadly committed suicide 3 years ago. So he's a good guy, he's got good motivation. That's why I'm aligning with him, because I can see that he's got good ethics. In fact, he was part of the AI and symposium on that very question, ethics in AI. And I'm a big believer in ethics. I'm a strong believer in ethics. You know, there is an ethical way to benefit from this, is what I'm trying to get across and what I'm trying to sort of highlight here. And the thing that I'm going into is going to help people. It's going to help them with repetitive tasks, as I was talking to you about offline. It can help you with scheduling. It can help you with looking at lead generation. It can help salespeople. There's so many different uses for it. That is the positive side, and that's the side I focus on. But yeah, look, as an IT professional, I like to arm myself with knowledge. It's like, you know, when I first got into IT, there were viruses, there was internet problems, there were scams, you know, and I wanted to educate myself, to educate my customers. This is like, I want them to know what to look out for, what to know, what to be aware of. Like even now with Facebook, people getting hacked, I posted something not long ago. These are the things you need to be aware of. This is how you can turn on two-factor authentication. It's like, so that's always the counterbalance for me, and that's how my conscience is clear, mate, with all this technology as well. I want to educate. I want to empower on the risks, on the maybe the negative side of it, but there is a benefit for this. There is a way where people can actually utilize it. I mean, there's some upsides and some downsides to all of this stuff, but I can see the benefits and I can see how it can help people. And so, like even talking to Daryl about it, I said, mate, how time poor are pastors? Tell me. He goes, very. I said, what about something that can take some initial inquiries? How many times do you get phone calls? What do you believe? Why do you believe it? Maybe you could have like a text message that starts to respond to these questions. So before you take the call, you already know. Mm. Oh, yeah, they've checked you out. They know what you're about. Maybe something like that. He goes, wow, definitely. So he's actually agreed to be one of my trial people.
Oh, wow.
One day for, you know. AI in the kingdom of God, that's kind of what I'm talking about here. Can we use it? Well, I really believe if Paul the Apostle was alive today, he would use anything and everything that he could to spread the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how I'm looking at it. So,
and I love the fact that you actually said about ethics, right? Because it is about following ethics. And I believe that you do believe, you know, lots of industries can benefit from it. And we were talking before in the break about that. Did you want to share with us some of the industries that you feel that will benefit from it?
Oh, pretty much any industry that needs to generate leads, any industry that needs to generate, qualify the sales, any industry that has repetitive tasks, any industry that can sometimes get overwhelmed with phone calls coming in continuously. You know, I love the idea of that. Like, for example, a guy that I know that runs a solar power business, he said to me, Chris, I've turned the actual social ad generation off. I said, oh, why did you do that? He said, because of the influx of calls come in, I wouldn't be able to handle them. So when we told him about this, this is something that he – and that's the whole package that what we've got. You know, like we do lead generation, but we've also got the AI assistance that you can turn on. So real estates have got a lot of repetitive tasks. Real estates have got a lot of repetitive phone calls. Like you would know this yourself, Trish and Nicole, appointment setting can be a challenge. People's availabilities, confirming people's availabilities, you know, making sure they're available. How many times do we confirm, you know, just that one thing alone I think would be a benefit to any industry. Mm. But the ones that I'm mainly focusing on are probably real estate and medical. Like even my own GP, even my own doctor, because I get along really well with him. He's like, how are you going with that AI stuff, Chris? And like I spoke to him yesterday because I had an appointment with him. He goes, keep me informed, because I told him about this thing that I'm going into soon. Keep me informed, he goes. Just to give you an example of, you know, where this is actually at, the owner of the practice, because he's only part owner of one practice of all the practices, basically put an ad out on Seek, couldn't get anyone. So they're looking at the software that, you know, I'm not going to name the software, but it's commonly known. It's, you know, when you dictate text, They're bringing in AI. Adobe, Photoshop, how many times do people use that? I was talking to a pastor this morning. He uses it because he needs to get formatting done of the picture, and he was just telling me, like, what that sort of doing as well. So, yeah, look, any industry. But, you know, at the moment my focus is on real estate and how they might be leads is like gold. Qualified leads. I mean, how much time are you saving? Time is money when your business not following leads, not qualifying leads, knowing that what happens is the AI will realize you're qualified then, you're an actual qualified lead, and send that lead to you. And I was talking to the founder the other day, and he was telling me that he loves knowing that he's got a system where he can, you know, spend time with his two-year-old and his three-year-old. And then he says, at the end of the day, he's got appointments all booked for him. He's got qualified leads all ready to go. It's just waiting for him.
How does that work in practice? So I've only really dabbled with ChatGPT and just basically asking kind of questions. So how would AI get the lead generation? Is there like programs that you have to buy to get that, or?
Again, a lot of it's off ad Facebook social media type ads is one of the first things, and because you can actually target it at certain industries as well. But it's essentially, they do utilize ChatGPT technology, the founders, and so essentially what they do is they tell the bots, this is real estate, these are the common challenges, these are the things, and ChatGPT will tell you. That's the beauty of all this. I was talking to him about all this morning, is a sense of how do they actually do it. They just build it out with predefined answers. They hook it into your customer relationship management, which every business has got. Your customer database is like your lifeblood of your business. So what their bots do is they've got a whole platform all around this. What their bots will do is hook into your customer relationship management database, begin to utilize it, and look at your schedule. They'll provide a schedule for you as well inside this platform too. It's the full it really is like what they call a turnkey system. I was amazed when I saw it. And so, yeah, once it's up and running, there is a bit of onboarding required, obviously, because there's some specifics that might be, you know, customizable to you. But they've now reached the point where you get similarities across different real estate companies, don't you? You get similarities across medical departments. You get all these different similarities. You said, Chris, we've now reached the point where a lot of it's just copy and paste because we know these questions are going to be asked of this person from this industry. So, did that answer your question? I'm not sure if it
does. Yeah, it does. Yeah. That's really interesting. Like I've said, you know, I'm still on the fence with AI, I'm really intrigued about how it can help make our lives easier.
Oh, I asked him that question. I did. Like, if you've got people that you might want to tell about events, it can do all that for you. If you've got, I don't know if you're ever going to go down the road of fundraising for events, it can do that too for you. You just point the customer management database at the AI, it will do it all for you. And I asked him this question because it was important to me. Do you have Aussies with Aussie accents? Because I don't want Americans ringing up different people. Yes, we have Aussies and Aussie accents, so there's that as well. But you just think about the amount of time you spend on the telephone each day and how much of that time you can get back, so that the time you are spending on the telephone is not repetitive tasks. I suppose that would be the way that I would answer that question. So, yeah.
Cool. Was there any other questions you wanted to ask?
My brain. There's so many industries that would benefit from it, and they get repetitive stuff. Even RTOs, childcare centers, they're all just like getting the same questions. What days do you want to avail your child in? How old your child? That kind of thing. Exactly. RTOs, what courses do you want to do? What have you already done? You know, like prerequisites and finding out if they actually already meet it. Otherwise, you know, and your LLN and working it out. So, yeah, so it's just lots.
Think of the repetitive questions you'll always get asked. Like, you know what courses you've got available as an RTO, right? You know what courses you're doing. All you do is you tell these guys who are onboarding you, these are my courses, these are the dates, these are the availables. You feed it all in, right? You tell it what name you want, you tell it what agent name, and off you go. So I've actually took this picture of the system before I came in. So essentially, depending on what people want, this is the sort of functions that your AI team can do. Social media assistant, support assistant, sales assistant, pre-call assistant. In other words, are you ready? Are you confirmed? Are you still coming in? So then you can be told, look, they're not available. Like that's handy for a lot of people. So suddenly I've got an hour that I didn't even know I was going to have. Right, so there's an example. Post-call follow-up, how did the meeting go? You got any other questions? Web chat assistant, database reactivation assistant. It's all about utilising the technology to serve you, not you serve it. And I love that idea. Technology should be something that serves us. And that's what I am seeing. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Like, I was listening to the CEO of Microsoft Ally last night, and he is a big believer in the technology serving us.
Yeah.
And putting controls in place and putting things in place so that it does keep serving us.
And not the other way around. And I think, like, a lot of people have still got, you know, image of Terminator and how that kind of kicked off and all a lot of the sci-fi stuff. But I think as long as there's fail-safes, in place.
It is in its early stages. Like, it might surprise you both to know that in the US, and we know how big America is, there's 5% full adoption rate in AI. You know, and some companies do a lot of specialities, like, you know, generative AI. Engineering design shops are looking at all this sort of stuff. They're all looking at what AI can do. You know, if you can think of a software, that company's looking at how they can use AI right now. So, yeah, that's... I understand why people would be sitting on the fence, but, you know, I really believe every time technology's come out, Christians have initially had a reaction to it, and then eventually they've seen, oh, yeah, this isn't so bad. And but my mate Gil Hodges is a pastor in his own right as well, and he said, Chris, I don't want to be on the one reacting to technology as a Christian this time. I want to be on the forefront. I want to see where it's going, and I want to see if we can utilize this for the benefit of people, like for the benefit of, yeah, so... That's how I look at
and,
it.
And you mentioned before when we were talking on Facebook that the main point you wanted to get across is how Christians can embrace AI. So just apart from the other stuff, like specifically for Christians, what are the main benefits that people could be using AI for?
That's actually a really good question. I suppose the main benefits would be, like I was talking to this lady the other day. Mum looks after kids. She's been using AI for her menu planner. To work out, like, well, how can I, you know, how can I do menu planning for foods for the week?
I'm like, I've got these ingredients. What can I make?
yeah, exactly like that. And next thing she knows, she had a 2-week schedule all produced.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and I'm like, yeah, I never even thought of that. so that's just one. I think that's a pretty good example because how busy are mums, right?
Yeah.
We know we've got in our fridge and we're just like, what can we make with this, right? Yeah. And what will our children eat and what do we actually want to cook? And
That's cool.
And it's just all about asking the right questions to, you know.
And then you just contextualize it more. So it's like, okay, so I even use it for businesses, right? And thinking about mottos and that. And, you know, so then I put something in and it just gives me more information. And then... Because, you know, and you go to the internet and you're trying to, you know, define blah, blah, blah word and then you've got to go through all the stuff, whereas ChatGPT can, like, you know, define it more. And then you can, like, say, okay, but what about this, what about that? And I know other businesses are using it to do emails and taking the emotion out of it. So it's like, you know, I want to say this, but take the emotion out of it and just tell me what to write. And it looks so much more and reads so much more professionally because as you know, humans, we do put the emotion in it, but really we're just trying to relay some information.
Yeah.
And if we put too much emotion in it, then the message gets lost. And so that's also a way that companies are utilizing them.
Yeah, because, I mean, the key factor of ChatGPT, and I hear you, Nicole, is sometimes a mouthful for me too, they've actually got a particular role that's propped up called prompt engineering, which is literally these guys know exactly what to ask AI for different industries. And some of them are getting upwards of 200K a year because it's new and not many people know what to do. If you know what to ask it and you can ask it the right questions, that's essentially what it comes down to. But just to give you an example, like I know some graphic designers who are actually seeing the benefits of actually telling it what you want. Like like there's companies that are actually starting to get into website design. This is going to disrupt any industry. I can't think of one it will not disrupt. So then essentially what you do is you might say, look, I want you to build me a website that focuses on being a hardware store for electricians, for plumbers. I want it to be targeting Mandurah, Kwinana, Rockingham. You tell it all that and it will give you a starting point. Here's another example. I asked it to give me a job description in the job that I'm doing.
I get it to do that too,
It actually was pretty close. And then like I wanted to put a proposal together on something that we were developing with new technology at work and it came up with key points. And I'm like, how do you even know about that product from that company? Because essentially what it is, you know, with Google, do you know how web pages get ranked? They have something called a webbot AI right there. It scans the internet continuously. So this large language model has literally been data harvesters that have, if it's on the public internet, it's there. It's fair game. I'm sorry to tell you guys this, right? So if you think of any industry, right, doesn't matter what it is, there's a forum for it. There's a chat group. It's been scanning. These large language models have been in development for a lot of years. Google, Microsoft. It's just they took it to the public realm in 2022. And, of course, people didn't understand it. They started getting scared of it. They're like, but it isn't its infancy. I believe we've got a golden opportunity to grapple with it, to come to terms with it, to work out how it's going to benefit us.
There's also I was talking to a finance broker and he was also saying there's another one, I don't know, your – sounding like we can't say company names, right? So I'm like,
yeah, there's I'm one, conscious of that, right? Too, because yeah. I used to be on radio, Nicole.
Yeah, so I'm like thinking that. But basically, this one actually is AI as well, and it actually can give you links to then go and research what you're doing, which I'm a researcher, so I like reading that, and then it then gives me the links to research more and more as opposed to just telling me information.
Exactly.
So, like, that's a whole other side of it
to just
think about.
Mm.
And I know Tris was worried about, like, you know, we're having a conversation about it, you know, about don't know if you know this answer. I don't know if you want to continue the conversation. But in regards to, you know, them AI building the website, and then would that change the ranking in that, right?
Yeah, so correct me if I'm wrong. I don't understand, because I've heard two stories here, right? So I've seen some marketing website designer people who are saying, you know, you can put AI, say this is what I want, and AI will design you a website, right? But then I've heard also people saying, don't do that, because Google will scan, and if it sees that it's AI content, then it won't rank it as high. Same as ebooks. So some people are writing ebooks, right? Basically just saying, write me an ebook on, you know, gardening or something, and AI will generate this huge ebook especially for them in seconds, which is great, but then places like Amazon and Google will penalize them because it's an AI. So where is the truth in that?
Oh, look, I couldn't confirm that or deny it. But one thing I can tell you is that when it comes to SEO, I don't know a lot about it, but I do know this. One of the main things that Googlebot looks at is who's linked to you. Mm. Which websites are pointing people to you? Mm. That is a big factor. Mm. How much time do people spend on your pages when they come to your website? That's another big factor as well. But they're called backlinks. Basically, who's sending people to you from their websites? The bot picks all this up. The bot scans for all of that. But in terms of, was the content originally developed by AI? Yeah, that's actually a really good question, Trish. I wouldn't know. I could look into that for you, but I'm not a fan. I like the hybrid model. There's AI involved, but humans basically worked with the AI to produce that. So, you know, and I can see that graphic designers, like I know one I was talking to a little while ago, it's still her doing it. She just uses the AI to help her do it. So in terms of our website that's completely built out by AI according to a series of prompt responses, would that be penalised? It's actually a really good question. I'm just going to be honest, I don't know.
And I've heard, like, another group of people saying that, like you said, it's best as a combination. So AI
hybrid,
can write stuff, but then you go in and change it and make it more human, and then Google can't tell. But if it's solely AI, which can be
possible,
maybe a bit of a lazy thing. Like, if you want to write an ebook, you just get AI to write it for you, then why are you even writing an ebook, right? You're not putting anything of yourself into it.
Yeah.
So maybe the hybrid version is a better way to go, right? So you get AI to write the original, and then you change it, edit it.
Your wording. Well, my friend Gil Hodges wrote a book called Choice, and he actually told me exactly how he did it. He showed me exactly how he used AI to do it, and he showed me exactly what wording he used, and it was his word, and it worked off something called a PK, your personal knowledge base. So he uploaded all his stuff, and he then started giving it prompts on what he wanted it to write, and he had it on side by side. So hybrid model, AI was helping him with grammar, AI was helping him check his words, but he was the one writing it out. Mm. And the way he did it, he showed me this is not a secret source, he literally just spoke into dictation, which is on Microsoft Word.
Okay.
And I should have known that, but I didn't. Hands up, don't know everything about IT, not claiming I do. And I'm like, what the? And he goes, yep. And I just put it into AI and I said, check my grammar, check this, check that. And he says, and he put it alongside stuff that he had manually typed out. And he says, and he basically told it to. So that's just one example of how it can help a writer, because he wrote a whole book. It's called Choice. And it's just like, I'm just like, wow, dropped open. Because I do want to write a book. And I have got a lot of writings. I'm a prolific writer. Like, I'm always, you know, I'm writing a lot, putting on Facebook, and got teachings from writings. And I'm like, man, I could put this together. And he said, yeah. And he told me exactly what to do and how to use it. I'm like, I never thought. Because one of my processes, I will literally grab my phone. Sometimes I'll be having a conversation with my wife, Sharon, and I'll get inspired. And I'll go, hun, where's my phone? Where's my phone? And I'll pick it up, right? I kid you not. And I'm like, it's like my wife, poor wife, she hears my sermon sometimes two or three times, right? And like sometimes she'll, because sometimes I'll just listen back to what I've said. She'll go, are you listening to that guy again? So she hears the sermons two or three times. What I'm trying to say is that text to speech is something that then saves me so much time.
Yeah.
And I will use that as my starting point. And I know a lot of pastors that do that. So that's one example of AI automation that's been around a long time. Think about Excel spreadsheets. How long have you been doing macros for? How long have macros been around? Still a form of AI, still a form of automation. I think people are getting quite hung up on the term AI and they've got Terminator in their mind and they've got Skynet in their mind. And I'll be honest, I was 17 when that first came out. So, yeah, obviously we know that there are people who may have bad intent with it, but I'd like to think that as Christians we can come up with the right response of how it can be used in an ethical and a way that enhances people's lives. And it serves the human. Not the other way around. I'm certainly going to do my bit to help along that cause, mate.
Awesome. It's one thing that I wanted to just kind of touch on before we kind of finish up the interview. So our show is Faithful Business Network, so it's all about people of faith in business and how their faith impacts their business.
Yeah.
So can you share a little bit about your faith journey and how that's impacted on, you know, what you do?
Well, ultimately, it comes down to, for me personally, do you believe that God's called you into business? Because I genuinely believe that there are people who are called to be in business, you know. And also in terms of how it's impacted me, you know, it's given me opportunities to serve people and to, you know, support people. And, you know, some of the values that's guided me in that, it would be integrity. I think that's something that people look for today, integrity. And just being someone that people can connect with. And one of the things I've always done is try to find one thing, try to remember one thing about that person personally, like what sports team do you support, you know, what kind of things do you get into for hobbies. So that's the other thing. But how has it guided me? How has it supported me? In terms of my faith, it always comes back to my relationship with God. It always comes back to my journey with Him and what I believe that He's called me into. Business to me gives me an opportunity to connect with people. That's what I think is good about business. It's not about the making of money for me. Obviously, we've got to make a profit, and I realise that. But to me, I really believe if you are relational focused, the money will take care of itself. Providing you're showing wisdom and being a good steward, it's not going to just happen, but yeah. So I'm a firm believer in the wisdom that my faith has afforded to me from the Bible, from Proverbs, has been a big help too. So wisdom, just having that faith in God, which I really believe you need when you want to be in business, if you're going to go on a business. So.
Awesome. Okay, so thanks so much for coming in. Really appreciate it today.
Always good to see you, mate.
Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we finish up?
No, just again, just want to encourage people, don't be scared of it. If you want to learn about it, you know, there's plenty of resources out there. There's plenty of things to learn about. Check it out, Google it. You know, there's plenty of ways to find out exactly what it really is all about. Don't be scared, just be educated. Probably the last thing I'd want to say.
That sounds like a good kind of thing to end on. Okay, so this is Sister Sledge and Real Family. And then we'll be coming back just after this. Thanks for coming in, Chris. Appreciate it.